Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Excitable boy, oh yeah. Louis, welcome back. Welcome back to a Christmas special of the Excitable Boy podcast. Mm-hmm. We are doing a non-director's commentary of the greatest Christmas film ever made.
Forever. It's D-Hard. Die Hard.
Quick recap. Well, hang on a minute. If for anyone watching this with us, we are at 1 hour and 49 seconds.
Yes.
And
so you have a close up of Alan Rickman looking a bit, you know, narked off.
If you need a recap, should we recap?
Yeah, just a quick recap.
Okay, so for a quick recap, we open on an aeroplane landing. It's 1988.
No, we don't need to go back that far.
Don't
skip through it. Skip through it.
Okay.
Do you know how you fast forward through a DVD at times 2?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Oh, okay.
You want to go at times 32,
okay,
at least. Or so, 64.
So John McClane's, he's a New York cop.
Yeah.
He's gone to visit his wife in LA. They have an argument about their marriage falling apart and her moving away.
Right.
And at this point, the building that he's in gets taken over by terrorists.
An international conglomerate.
An international smorgasbord.
Of nasties.
Of nasties, who are all quite nice. One of the great things about this movie,
yeah,
is that every single minor character gets their own little moment to shine.
Right.
That's one of the things that makes it timeless. Let's carry on. Okay, here we go.
I can get the jump on everybody if I get them off.
Oh, it's that actor.
Your pants on, will you?
Yeah, it's the guy from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, the journalist. Yeah,
may
yeah.
I please.
Yeah, yeah.
See the stories for Shirley.
He's really good in Ghostbusters.
No.
What the fuck happened to this
guy? Because you didn't use the magic word.
What is?
The magic word, Bakeman.
Please. Because I want to know what you do here.
Yeah. That guy. Everything he does.
Frankly, there's been a lot of wild allegations in the press, and we want to investigate possible noxious gases.
Yeah, he did some good high profile stuff.
Eat it, Harvey.
Yeah.
Good evening.
What happened to him?
This is Harvey Johnson.
And I'm Gail Wallens, and this is Nightline News at 10. Our top story.
See, he wants to cover the story.
Take trip number 5. Get out of here.
He knows that the building's under siege because he's heard it on his little CB radio like a child.
Yeah. See, look, I mentioned last week, this guy looks great because of his hair running.
The other man was Henrik. And his bag is missing.
Henrik has the detonators.
So in the '80s, you had who was the is it Golf Dolph Lundgren,
Dolph Lundgren?
He's in Rocky.
Lundgren. I don't know.
Who was blonde?
No idea. I've never really watched
there's
Rocky.
There's a fear and distrust of blondes of the Aryan race in these films.
Well, it's because that's Hitler's crew, isn't it?
It is Hitler's crew.
Hitler's posse.
He loved an Aryan. He wasn't one though.
He wasn't.
It was a bit of a double standard, if you think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a bit like when a white guy tries to be black, isn't it? You know, when you see someone wearing, like, trying to be a rapper.
Yeah, he has dreads. Yeah. A white guy with dreads is what Hitler was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting fact about Hitler. Apparently he escaped to South America after the war. Do you know this?
I've heard that story, yeah. Well, because South America was harboured a lot of ex-high-profile Nazis, didn't it?
Yeah.
They just kind of went. They kind of fled there, and they.
What were given happened to like? There. Didn't Hitler have kids? His brothers and sisters had kids, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, and like they must have all had to change their name because you never come across a Hitler.
No, you don't want to be the first one in primary school on your first day, saying so, you know this is during register.
Yeah, Sarah Hitler.
So he goes, and you know, yeah. Jürgen Hitler.
Yeah,
Hitler. It says Hitler down here, and you're just shrinking. You probably wet yourself. Not good for a kid.
You seen enough funny IDs in my time to recognize that the ones they got must have
See, now he knows something's up.
Who?
McClane.
What do you mean he know? What do you mean he knows something's up?
Like he knows that they're high. That he knows that they're terrorists with money. He knows that
with means.
Not, yeah.
It's wheels within wheels. The plot thickens.
So light him if you got him.
Call me Roy.
See, I wouldn't have gone with Roy if I could have been called anything. I've been like Python.
You'd say, call me Python?
Cobra.
No, they're both...
Cobra Jack. Spasm. Spasm. Call me Spasm.
Call me Spasm.
Johnny Spasm.
Call me Johnny Spasm the third.
That'll be my punk name.
Call me Johnny Spasm McGonagall the third, Esquire.
Of Moshville.
Call me... That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? You should have gone for a really long name.
I'm sorry that we don't have more Christmas treats here, Tim.
What do you mean?
You know, like some, you know, all the stuff you get at Christmas that you only get once a year.
You've got zero fucking tinsel.
Nope.
No tree.
Nope.
You gave me a gift.
That was pretty good.
In the last
section. Yeah, the last week's issue episode.
That was fun.
Yeah. It's a good book.
You kind of shamed me while we were recording.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And you left the price on it.
Yeah.
You let me know that you spent a lot of money. Not only were you the only one to buy a gift, but you spent a lot of money on it.
Do you want to know how... Should we tell them how much it cost?
It was £22.50.
That's a lot of money for someone you'd kind of like.
Yeah, it is. You know? Yeah, you must feel stupid now. That's what I'm saying.
Every year my mum buys those... Like those chocolates that are shaped like... they're in a stocking.
Right.
You know? Like, they're in a cardboard box that's shaped like a stocking, and it's got, like, a twirl.
That's sweet.
Dairy milk.
I like that kind of stuff.
And then at the end of Christmas, there's always the Galaxy Caramel.
Of course.
And the Bounty.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't mind a Bounty.
I don't mind a Bounty. Bounty's getting bad rep.
I think in Quality Street, the ones always left are the toffees.
Mm.
Everyone goes for the purple ones first.
Mm.
The hazelnut
shit. I like the toffee penny.
Everyone loves the pralines. Really? Yeah. The toffee penny. Well, then you'd love it at most houses because that's the ones that... And also like the strawberry cream.
No, the rose one is the one that gets left. Those... Like the strawberry chocolate. What the fuck's that about? Who likes that one?
The strawberry one.
Yeah.
I think they just put it in for filler.
Yeah, but they could just make more purple ones.
They could.
Yeah.
It's like I would eat loads of wafers. Like, you know, those biscuits tins. If it was all pink wafers...
You'd be happy.
I'd be happy.
It's not... Quality Street.
Right.
Not much quality on that street.
Well, it's not a street, is it, Josh? It's a flower company. It's a chocolate company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roses.
Right.
They're not roses. Why are they called roses? They should be called chocolates.
I'm confused.
It would be like if you gave someone roses for Valentine's Day and went, here's some chocolates.
But that's the company. It's the make. It's a brand. No, but
it's the idea that it's giving someone... It's the gesture of giving someone... A bunch of roses. You go, here's a bunch of roses. It's the gesture of, it's something that you give to someone for a special. It's my vape for a special occasion.
You just dropped your vape.
I just dropped my vape. It's the gesture of giving someone something for a special occasion. And they taste like shit. Roses are horrible. Quality Streets are horrible.
Right.
Celebrations, not too bad.
Right.
I like the Malteser celebration tastes better than Maltesers. Have you noticed? It's got more chocolate around the malt.
Right.
Like a Malteser is circular, and a celebration Malteser is, what's that, like the shape of an eye?
Right.
What's that shape called?
An oval? An oval, yeah.
Oval, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they taste a lot better because there's a deeper chocolate ratio.
Back to the film. So, we are... fuck you talking about? Right.
I'm trying to fill the time. This is a 2-hour podcast.
Look, it's just kicking off.
This is the longest podcast we've ever done, Tim.
Yeah, but the film's kicking off.
I'm trying to kill the dead space.
No, but there's no dead space.
Like, there's a lot of dead space at
if
Christmas.
They're watching the film.
There is. Christmas is full of dead space.
If they're watching the film, then they'll be engaged.
You have to go home and lie to your family about how well your life's going.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Actually, most days, Mum and Dad, I tend to just sit up in bed till 11 a.m. with biscuit crumbs in my ever-growing belly.
I just say things vague like, oh, this and that, ups and downs, and then I cut myself.
Yeah.
Just in front of him. Right, so...
I found it fell out the window. Well, who knows?
Probably some stockbroker got depressed.
We're ready for you, Chief.
I love that line.
Let's go. So that guy...
You know what stockbrokers are like?
little side fact for you. In this scene, there's a police officer in the background.
Mm-hmm.
That guy who says, "We're ready for you, Chief." Mm-hmm. And he is the police officer in Die Hard 3 who gets shot and the guy takes his badge.
Right.
And he's got one line in this movie, and then they bring him back to Die with a Vengeance, and he's a higher grade like police officer.
Was it in the Die Hard films?
Yeah.
Was this the best film?
Mm-hmm.
Because the last film was the worst film.
And we went to see that at the cinema.
Was it the one, do you know when Bruce Willis was promoting it and he looked just like he wanted to kill himself?
Yeah.
Was it that film?
So there's 5 Die Hard films, but for Die Hard fans, there are 3 Die Hard films. But for actual Die Hard fans, there's only 1.
Okay, so right? This is the first one.
So Die Hard 1 is flawless. The screenplay is great. It still looks brilliant. Like, it's still a great story with a great twist. It's a beautiful movie. The second Die Hard film is acceptable, but it carbon copies the first one too much.
Right.
Right? The third one is great because they bring Samuel L. Jackson in. And he revives the whole movie and he makes it great. There's this Die Hard with a Vengeance. See, sorry to go back to the film here for a second. This is a great example of all the characters having... What I was saying earlier, that every character has a minor moment to shine.
So John McClane is running... Oh yeah, he's running...
They're bringing in the SWAT team.
All right, so he's looking out the window to see the SWAT team approach.
Yeah. So Die Hard 3 was originally called Simon Says.
Yeah. You see, go back a bit. Oh, you can't go back
a
bit.
No, we can't go back.
See, when the light hits the camera lens,
yeah.
You know, you see it's an oval, not a circle.
Oh, interesting.
That's what's anamorphic.
See?
Yeah.
See, the SWAT team guy runs through the rose bushes and pricks his finger.
Okay.
Great little moment of comedy.
Okay.
And then here's another great little moment of comedy coming up. This guy. I'm going to say Japanese terrorist.
Well, you're really...
He's Japanese, right?
I don't know.
I think he's Japanese.
That's one thing that makes me nervous, is guessing ethnicities.
Yeah,
it's quite a hard thing, because I really don't know what most people look like.
And then he grabs the chocolate bar, see, everyone gets their little moment. Sorry to go back to it. Die Hard 3, originally called Simon Says, and then they adapted it and turned it into Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Right.
It wasn't actually written to be a Die Hard film, but I think Bruce Willis read it and was like, yeah, that could be a good Die Hard movie.
Hells yeah.
And then they bring Samuel L. Jackson in, who really made the film great, and John McTiernan, who directed this one, comes back for the third one.
Right.
And it's the aesthetic's very similar. It still looks great. They change the story enough. They make it like trapped in a city rather than trapped in a building, you know?
Yeah.
And then 4 and 5 are just fucking dreadful movies. Kevin Smith wrote a lot of Die Hard 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kevin Smith of Slackers fame.
Slackers?
Did he write Slackers? No. That was his first film, Kevin Smith.
No, it wasn't. Clerks.
Then who wrote Slackers?
I don't even know there's a movie called Slackers.
There is.
It wasn't Kevin Smith.
So he did Clerks.
And then he did Mallrats.
Oh, that's it.
And then he did Chasing Amy.
Oh, yeah.
Then he did Dogma.
Dogma.
And then he's done a bunch of films since.
That
Yoga Hosers. He did one called, I think, Tusk.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right, now they're sending in the SWAT team.
Do you know how SWAT teams move in films, right? I think soldiers move differently in different countries. I saw footage of, like, when they were storming a building to get Pablo Escobar, right? These special forces officers in South America were like, in Colombia, were like, they were like dancers. They weren't like moving, like hunkered down. They were like leaping over things, like parkour experts. I don't know where I'm going with this, but you know, I just think the way the military move in films is different from when... Oh, fuck me. Let's keep going. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Are you a bit drunk?
Yeah, I've had a few. I'm on my
How many beers have you had?
I'm on my fourth beer now.
Oh, boy. Now, see, Hans Gruber there says, don't kill them, just injure them. Again, another reason to like the bad guy.
I'm just trying to recognise some of these actors. Okay, now they're sending
the police have themselves an RV.
Oh, that's great. Look at that. You see all the light, the oval of the light.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means it's anamorphic.
So the lens flare, is that what it's called?
No, that's lens flare. With the lens flare is oval, not circular, because the camera lens is circular. What you're seeing there is the lens, but the distortion in the lens. So anamorphic bends light in to the sensor, so it crams more in to the sensor, and then it's stretched out afterwards.
So that's Vigo from Ghostbusters.
Oh, no way.
Pushing the missile.
There he is.
I'm really enjoying...
That isn't him.
No, wait for it. That guy. That's Vigo.
No.
That's Vigo. Look.
That's not...
He is Vigo. Oh, that's Vigo. You okay. are like the buzzing of flies to him.
Sorry. Yeah,
Vigo, I the scourge confused. Of Carpathia, the sorrow of Moldavia.
I thought you meant the other guy, not Vigo.
Yeah.
Who's in Ally McBeal.
Death is but a port... When time is but a portal, I'll be back.
Is when they cover him in sticky pink.
No, that's not Vigo. That's Janusz.
Jeez.
That's Jan. Oh, Janusz was in Ally McBeal.
Janusz was in the
Alley. Yeah. Why am I dripping with goo?
Yeah.
Where are you from, Johnny? The Upper West Side?
Yeah. But they gave... who was the black actor in Ghostbusters?
Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson. They gave him more to do in the second one, didn't they? But in the first one, he wasn't there to be black.
Yeah, he wasn't in any of
He had no lines, really.
He says, God, I love this town.
And he nails every line he has.
If there's a steady paycheck in it, I'll believe anything you say.
He fucking nails everything he gets. But all I'm saying is just that he's there. He's making up the numbers a bit, isn't he? In that film.
I do wonder sometimes whether they cast him because they needed a black guy in the film. But he's great in Ghostbusters 2, though.
No, he is great.
And he's in the posters. Ghostbusters 1, they marketed it just as the three guys.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis.
Ramis, yeah.
And Planet Earth's uncle, Bill Murray.
Yes, true.
He is the world's uncle.
Him and Attenborough. Can you imagine sitting down
with Attenborough's everyone's granddad.
Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he goes, people are going
to
lose their
shit. Oh, my God. Can people stop telling me to watch Blue Planet? I get it. I get it.
No, you don't.
No, like, do you? There's some animals, and then look at that, and then they die, and then some are cute.
First of all, it's all in the ocean, and you're seeing things that no one's ever seen before.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you're seeing biodiversity, which makes the mind boggle, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, don't care.
Well, you know.
There's a seal.
You're the reason it's all, you know, gonna end horribly, so.
Let's carry on.
Oh, C4's just gone off.
Yeah. They use the artillery on us! Big flame coming up the...
That's a great effect.
Apparently they had to continually apologise while making this because they were still using the building. They were filming in the building. And people were just working.
What?
So like they had like 5 floors of the building that they were shooting in. But the other, like, 20 Fox. Floors of the building were just people working. So they were constantly having to butter up the staff to be like, sorry, guys, we know you're doing accounts for When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah.
But we need to blow up this thing, so bear with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had an update on the terrorist takeover of the Nakatomi building. Sources say the terrorist leader Hans, maybe this man Hans Gruber,
Hans.
A member of the radical West German Volksfrei movement. Strangely, the Volksfrei leadership issued a communique an hour ago stating that Gruber had been expelled from that organization.
Al, do you copy?
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Shit just got real.
You're starting to look quite drunk, Tim.
Yeah. That's why I said shit just got real. I wasn't really talking about the film.
Do you think in an emergency circumstance right now you could still drive proficiently?
In an emergency?
Yeah, let's say I died right now.
Well, what do you mean?
If I suddenly collapse right now, how would you get me to hospital in the state?
Had a seizure.
Well, no, I just collapsed. And you're like, Josh.
You just went limp.
Oh my God, Josh, wake up.
You went
wake
limp.
Up.
Have you stopped breathing?
No, I'm still breathing, but I'm bleeding out my nose. And my eyes.
Well, I'd ring the non-emergency number and say, listen... Shall I ring 999?
You wouldn't immediately call 999?
No, because I would like to give myself plausible deniability for when you... You know, I want to create enough possibility of you dying, but also have a case for the defence. I was confused. I rang the wrong number.
What, so they didn't think that you'd killed me?
Yeah. No, ring 999. They'd come and go, hello, Josh, can you hear me? They'd do the voice the paramedics and policemen do to drunk people or people who are barely conscious. Hello, hi, Josh, can you hear me? Could you lift your arm for me, please?
If you had to kill me right
now. How's your career going, Josh? What if they start asking really irrelevant and penetrating questions? Okay, we're just going to lift you onto the gurney now.
Do you think you'd be happier if you'd accomplished more at this point in your life?
Yeah.
He just did a line of coke, back to the movie.
Oh, great. I love this guy so much. He just does coke and looks really smarmy all the time.
And he says, spreck as you talk.
Hey, oh, yeah.
Hey, spreck as you talk.
He thinks he's a master. Here he goes.
What does he want?
It's not what I want. It's what I can give you.
Ah, oh, Rickman, just a look. A little look.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
Boy, let's be straight, okay? It's obvious you're not some dumb schmuck up here to snatch a few purses, am I right?
You're very perceptive.
I watched 60 Minutes. I say to myself, these guys are professional, they're motivated, they're happening, i.e., they want something, huh? Personally, I couldn't care less about your politics. Maybe you're pissed off at the camel jockeys,
racist,
the heaves, Northern Ireland. It's none of my business. I figure,
but this is like what happens when a character is going to die. The writing, you have to do something in the writing to make that death okay.
Yeah.
And like, he's a classic example of that. Okay, just at this scene, like, he's not particularly likable. He's done coke, but let's have him be completely racist.
Yeah.
And
just, you know,
and anti-Semitic. And but, then when he dies, everyone will be
but
like,
what's so great about this guy is everyone's met this guy.
And everyone,
you know, like someone wearing like snakeskin shoes at a party.
Yeah.
You know, talking about how he bought a jet ski in the Maldives and just left it there.
Just left it. I left it on the beach.
You know? Yeah, I had my fun with it.
I found this. Yeah, I had my fun.
I had my fun with it. I had these two girls riding on the back in bikinis. One was yellow, one was orange. We got a yacht for the day. I had to fly home to make some business plans. I thought, fuck it, I'll leave the jet ski on the beach. You know, it's not a big deal. 13 grand for me is nothing. It's nothing. Yeah. People have fun. I want people to have fun. You know, that's what I'm all about. He just hits you on the shoulder a bit too hard. It's what I'm all about. Fun, huh? You want some fun, huh? You got any coke? Seriously, you got any coke?
You got any coke? Yeah, I like the idea that you just left a jet ski or gave it to an old washerwoman.
Yeah.
I just said, keep it.
You know, when I was 6 years old, I was on a beach. And I didn't grow up in England. I grew up in Malaysia.
Yeah.
And they obviously had different rules. I was playing on the beach with my sister when I was 6 years old. And a guy walked out who ran the bar that we were at with a basket full of puppies and just started drowning them. You believe that? That's true.
How old were you?
Six. It's not funny.
Oh my god. That explains so much.
Here we go, let's continue.
John McLean.
Oh. The New York Police Department. Hans has figured out who he is.
Get on the phone to Harry and come on, baby.
Got it.
You
better
get hold of somebody in dispatch.
Sister Teresa called me Mr. McLean in third grade. My friends call me John. You're neither, shithead.
Great.
I have someone who wants to talk to you.
A very special friend.
A very special friend who was with you at the party.
John Boy.
Hey, John Boy.
John Boy.
Hey, John Boy.
He's such a dick.
He's so good. God bless this guy.
Listen, John. Give me a few minutes to try to talk some sense into you.
I know you think you're doing your job, John, and I can appreciate that,
but you're just dragging this thing out. Now look, no one gets out of here until these guys can talk to the L.A. police, and that just ain't gonna happen until you stop messing up the works, capiche?
Alice, what have you told them?
Alice, what have you told them? I told them we were old friends and you were my guest at the party. Alice, you shouldn't be doing this.
Tell me about it.
I love that he orders a Coke. It's such a great little like, fucking comedy nuance joke. Just a little.
All right, John,
and then the guy pours it for him. It's brilliant.
Tell him what the detonators are.
Like, he just they write it so well to rally everyone into wanting him dead.
Yeah, I know. Everyone, the audience want him dead.
Like all the people in that room want him dead. Yeah. Like, the guys had to go fetch him a Coca-Cola. Like he's just been... And they didn't... what's it called? Is it a Brechtian thing where you what? Don't see the exposition? So he's obviously turned to one of them and gone, can you get me a Coke? But you don't see that bit.
I know.
You just see him bring the Coke in and then you see the pouring for him and you put it together yourself.
John, shut up, fellas.
We're really clever, aren't we?
Put Hans back on the line. Hans, this shithead does not know what kind of man you are, but I do. Listen...
Good, then you'll give us what we want and save your friend's life. You're not part of this equation this time you realize that.
Hey, what am I, method actor Hans?
Put away the gun.
Hey, put away the gun. This is radio, not television. This asshole is not my friend. I just met him tonight. I don't know him. Jesus Christ, LSE, people are going to kill you. Tell them you don't know me. John, how could you say that after all these years, huh? John.
Sweating. Here we go. And also a great thing about that scene as well is the lighting in the office is very friendly, isn't it? It's very Christmassy in that room. Look, it's never threatening in there, and it's never executive neon lighting. It's very warm colours.
Yeah,
it's to make the audience feel at ease.
And then obviously, you know, it's unnerving, isn't it?
You're right, mate.
Yeah, I'm all right. Hang on. Let me just angle the microphone my direction a bit more. Because I'm listing. Like an old ship.
Don't you see? Can't you read between the lines?
So what's happening now? What's the name of this guy?
Al Powell.
Al. The character's name is Al.
Al Powell.
Al Powell.
Oof. The man is hurting.
This is a great bit.
He's alone, tired, and he hasn't seen diddly squat from anybody down here. Now you're going to stand there and tell me that he's going to give a damn about what you do to him if he makes it out of there alive? Why don't you wake up and smell what you shovel at him? You listen to me, Sergeant.
Right.
Anytime you want to go home, you consider yourself dismissed. No, sir. You couldn't drag me away.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. There's so much going on.
Explain. That was a fairly straightforward argument.
Yeah, but it was just... I just love that there's drama everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Hans Gruber.
I love that his name is Dwayne as well. I'm not the one who just got butt-fucked on national TV, Dwayne.
Further loss of life.
Well, what is it you do wish for?
I want to avoid further loss of life.
This is great. He makes up this whole thing, doesn't he, to throw them off.
The State Department enjoys rattling its saber for its own ends.
Throw them off the scent.
The following people are to be released from their captors. In Northern Ireland, the 7 members of the new Provo Front. In Canada, the 5 imprisoned leaders of Liberté de Québec. In Sri Lanka, the 9 members of the Asian Dawn.
What the fuck? Asian Dawn?
Heard about them in Time magazine. When these revolutionary brothers and sisters are free, the hostages in this building will be taken to the roof, and they will accompany us in helicopters to the Los Angeles International Airport, where they will be given further instructions. You have 2 hours to comply.
Wait a minute, Mr. Gruber. This is crazy. I don't have the authority. I can't authorize. 2 hours is not enough. Hello? Hello?
Gutted.
Yeah, did you get all that? Let's go. We gotta make some calls.
Do you think they'll even try to do it?
Who cares?
Fantastic. So you know that it's a ruse. You know that he's not... you know that he doesn't want those people freed. He's just trying to...
Yeah, so what's he doing then?
He's just trying to throw them off the scent.
And what's he actually after? What's Rickman after?
He's after the money in the vault.
Oh, the vault in the building?
Yes, it was explained earlier.
All right.
But you were only one beer in then.
No, you were just talking a lot of shit about how the lighting was warm and how that is a counterpoint to the savagery of the villains. And I didn't really give a shit. So I missed it.
What are the biggest things that happened this year? Oh, I know. Prince Harry got engaged.
He did.
To a mixed race girl.
Is it Meghan Markle?
Meghan Markle.
It's Meghan Markle.
Maggie Markle?
And everyone again.
Who is Meghan Markle?
I think she's an actress.
She related to Angela Markle.
I don't know.
Oh.
She's an actress.
So she was in, what was she in?
TV and shit. Just like American telly and shit.
Like soaps.
She's quite young. I think she's in her 20s. Yeah, Harry's not going to go for a 30-year-old, is he?
How old's Harry?
I don't know. I think Harry... He's probably mid-30s, isn't he?
Is it not a big thing that he's marrying a mixed-race person?
Well, no one's mentioned it.
I've seen it a lot.
But no one really gives a shit about Harry.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can do what he wants.
You know.
I mean, he dressed up as a Nazi.
Did he?
Do you not remember that fancy dress party?
He was very... he dressed up as a Nazi. Yeah. Every now and again, you get someone who does something crazy. Who is it? There's a footballer who blacked up recently.
Oh, my God.
Antoine Griezmann. He plays for Atletico Madrid. And he tweeted out this picture of him. Because he went to this fancy dress party as an NBA basketball player. So he had this massive, like, fro wig on. Completely blacked up head to toe. It's a full body shot in, like, basketball gear. And it literally took him an hour to take it down. Can you imagine when you do that? He must have been so confident that it wasn't going to backfire because he must have just not looked at his phone for an hour. Because as soon as it went out, people were like, dude, what, could you take that down? Seriously, take that down. His manager, everyone else like, what's going on? Ding, 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 on his phone. But he probably went for a sauna.
But what's interesting about that is that it's not the tweeting it. It's every single process, like going to the wig shop, going to JJB Sports.
Yeah, yeah. He really constructed
his... Going to Foot Locker.
His racist.
Going to wherever you buy black up makeup from. Like he had to research, like, how do I black up? Like,
how do you... Yeah, how
exactly.
Do you,
I how don't do you know black how you, up?
I don't know what you'd use.
I have no
what
idea.
What would you use?
No. Shoe polish? No, that's toxic.
That'd be really smelly, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they used to use shoe polish as torture, didn't they? Back in the war. Like a primitive form of torture. They would heat it up and then put it on people's bollocks.
It's so full of shit.
It's true. No, that's true.
No, it's not true.
It was a form of torture during the war. Oh, did you know
what? Because you could apply that to any substance. It's like, do you hear, flower vases were a form of torture.
Just heat them up
and put them on someone's bollocks.
Mate, Starburst.
If you heat anything up and put it on someone's bollocks... It's torture. It doesn't matter what the thing is. You could heat up anything and put it on someone's bollocks and it meets the definition of torture.
No, but I think shoe polish was more readily available in the war.
Oh, right. Okay, well then...
Than vases.
Oh, that's an interesting thing about shoe polish. You used to heat it up and put it on people's bollocks to torture them.
Yeah.
I suppose all soldiers had it, right?
Well,
is that why they did it?
I don't think all soldiers had... I don't think in their rations it was like bread, water, shoe polish.
You don't eat shoe polish, so it wouldn't be in your rations. Each trench or each like battalion would have polish because they really...
It has to be presentable.
Yeah, it's very important for the morale of the troops.
Well, maybe it wasn't in the war. Maybe it's in barracks.
Right.
That the soldiers would like bully other soldiers. I've definitely seen
it. Well, it's fracking, isn't there? Fragging.
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 Fragging is when you put like soap bars in a sock.
Yeah, and whack
hit
it
someone
over.
So they don't bruise, is that right?
Yeah, have you seen A Few Good Men?
I have not seen A Few Good Men.
I Want the Truth, You Can't Handle the Truth.
Oh, Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Well, it's about like soldiers who in barracks who give this soldier who was like, he had like asthma and he was like, he would fall behind in jogs and everyone was getting pissed off with him. So one night, they do what's called a code red on him, so they frag him and they kill him by accident. That's what the whole film's about.
Oh.
There you
go. With batteries in a sock?
Yeah, I think they put soap in a sock.
And that kills him?
Well, they gave him enough internal injuries that he accidentally died, yeah.
Oh,
and then Tom Cruise gets very emotional in the courtroom. He goes, I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. And
I thought that was Jack Nicholson.
And he goes, L. Ron Hubbard's the truth. That's the bit they left out. L. Ron Hubbard's the truth, and then he goes thetan, and the whole thing.
The biggest movies of 2017. You ready? You ready for the list?
Oh yeah, hit me.
Tell me if you've seen any of these films.
Oh, hang on. Before you say that, this is the scene. We're at the scene
this
now.
This is we're now at
it's
Hans
a good scene.
Gruber
meets.
Cop from New York.
This is where Hans Gruber and McClane meet.
Yeah.
York.
And he's pretending. Oh, he's doing an American accent, isn't he? Mm-hmm.
Got invited to the Christmas party by mistake. Who knew?
You don't work for not dumb.
Yeah. Better being caught your pants down, huh?
That's Hans Gruber noticing that he's not wearing shoes.
Yep.
And they look at his bare feet and he says, better than being caught with your pants down.
I'm John McClane.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're,
Clay.
Bill Clay.
Oh.
Daddy, use a handgun, Bill?
I spent a weekend at a combat ranch. You know that game with the guns that shoot red paint? Everything's kind of stupid to you.
It's not a real thing, Bill.
And John McClane's giving him a gun. He's giving a gun to the enemy.
But what he doesn't know is that McClane's way ahead.
Mm-hmm. All I gotta do is pull the trigger. Come on.
Dreyendreich comes sofort.
Dreyendreich is the chauffeur. Kommt sofort.
Tense moment, he's pointing a gun at Bruce Willis.
Put down the gun.
And give me my detonators.
For such a well thought out plan.
Well.
He really didn't anticipate someone stealing the only bag of detonators, did he?
No, it didn't. You always should have standbys. The crucial aspect of your plan.
I've got a detonator in my pocket right now.
Me too.
I always carry one. Wallet, phone, house key, chewing gum, detonator.
Chewing gum.
I already used all the explosives. But did I?
I'm going to count to three.
Yeah. Like you did with Takagi. Oops. No bullets. Fucking stupid, Hans.
You were saying?
Uh-oh, gunfire, heavy gunfire.
The Aryans have arrived with their floppy hair. Okay, so...
One's dead, he just shot one of them.
They're having a big fight, he's running away. What are the top films?
Biggest films of the year, Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With a gay character.
Is there a gay character?
Josh Gad plays a gay... Well, he doesn't have sex with anyone. Because who's the lead, the handsome guy?
Lumiere.
Yeah, Lumiere's the lead, so that's
played
by Welsh...
No, Lumiere's the candle. That's
McGregor. No, but the main guy is the very handsome prince guy.
The Beast.
Is it the Beast?
Yes, the Beast, Tim.
What am I thinking of? There was one with Josh Gad who plays a gay character and everyone got really, really upset about it.
Why?
Not upset, but it was like liberals got very excited about it and, you know, the Kremlin got disgusted by it because they hate gays. But Putin, Putin's quite homoerotic, even though he doesn't like...
I haven't seen it.
All right, so I haven't seen it. Go on. What's the other one?
Wonder Woman.
With
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
Gal waiting for Gal Gadot.
Waiting for Gal Gadot.
Yeah. Have you seen that?
Nope. I don't like superhero films.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
That feels like a sci-fi fantasy.
You seen it?
Nope.
Spider-Man Homecoming. This is amazing. The top four films of the year are all Marvel.
So these are the highest grossing films?
Yeah.
Not critically acclaimed?
No, these are the biggest movies
of the year. Not Rotten Tomatoes?
No.
Yeah. No. That's got that new... He's a British actor in that one. He's the new Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently he's very good.
Because they said that the other guy was too old.
Who was the last guy? Garfield?
No, that's a cat.
Yeah, but Garfield, you know, auditioned.
Did he?
No, he didn't. Andrew Garfield.
No way.
Yeah.
And Thor Ragnarok.
So they're all superhero films.
Well, these are just the biggest films of the year. Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
Okay, that's the one just out.
Yeah, I don't think that's The Last Jedi, personally. I think that might
I think there'll be more.
I think that might ruin their franchise.
I've got a suspicion there's a procession of Jedis.
I find it impossible to get excited about it now. Because now that you know that there's like 20 more Star Wars films scheduled,
yeah,
it kind of makes it less special. Do you know what I mean? Like, I like creme brulee, right?
Right.
I like that. It's a fun dessert because you crack the thing. Yeah. And then it's got someone's burnt it.
So why is that fun?
Well, I like it because process of cracking it like an egg. Right. And then you eat the cream inside.
Right.
If someone gave me that every day, I'd stop giving a shit after a while.
Right.
So with the Star Wars thing, it's like, oh, there's another one. It's like, great. And then we're doing one that's not associated to the story. Oh, that's interesting. And then there's another one. Oh, great. All the main characters are dead now. You know, it's impossible to care. And there's so many like merchandising things they make with them. Like there's the little puffins in this one. The Porgs.
What?
You know, like they had the Ewoks. Yeah, they've got new Ewoks called Porgs.
Porgs.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just such a blatant merchandise thing.
Of course, yeah. I think it's very weird when have people who are dead in films. So Carrie Fisher shows up, I think.
Yeah, and she doesn't die.
She died this
year. No, she doesn't die in this film.
Oh, so they use all the footage?
Apparently, she's still alive. I mean, I don't...
Or do you know what they probably do? Because like in the first recent film...
You're talking about Rogue One now. You're not talking about The Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. They reconstruct. They completely recreate.
Yeah, her out of CGI.
Not her. It's a guy.
They make a young Leia.
At the end. Yeah, okay, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the one of the British actors. They mapped the dead guy's face onto another actor's face.
Oh, hang on a minute. This is a great bit.
All right.
What the hell are you talking about, man?
Something had to get you off the street.
What's the matter? You don't think
that's... McClane and Al Powell having a heart-to-heart.
Is this the bit...
I shot a kid!
No.
This is the bit of the film where it...
Yeah.
The moment of doubt before the triumph, right?
I had an accident.
When you drive, I can see why. What'd you do? Run over your cabin's foot with the car.
I shot a kid. He was 13 years old. Oh, he was dark. I couldn't see him. He had a ray gun, looked real enough. You know, when you're a rookie, they can teach you everything about being a cop except how to live with a mistake.
Great line.
That bit feels a bit forced, doesn't it?
Oh no, it's very cheesy. That's why I love it.
Do you think when they wrote the new Star Wars film, they wrote it and then someone came back with like notes?
Yeah.
And they went, yeah, here's the main note. We need more things that we can turn into products to sell.
Yeah.
So can we have a new lightning sword?
Can we have an alien that looks like an iPhone?
Yeah.
Apple are very keen on this alien that looks like their iPhone 7X.
Is there any chance that Luke can just pull out Angry Birds at some point and say it's like a vintage game?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. It can use it to train the new girl.
Yes.
About how to be a Jedi.
Could we just have like a graphic of the McDonald's arches for 5 minutes in the middle of the film?
What if
just hold on that master?
Can we put this out there? They're driving along in the space motorway in the Millennium, whatever. What's it called? Millennium
Falcon.
And they go, oh, I'm hungry. Falcon. Oh, you know what I want? I want some space nuggets. And they just stop.
Right.
And they stop at a Mook drive-thru in the sky.
Right.
And then they just have to... They order some filet-o-fish.
Never get the filet-o-fish.
It's the best burger.
No.
I love the filet.
All the people that work at McDonald's say don't get the filet-o-fish.
Why?
Because hardly anyone orders it, and fish just sits there. And if a fish sits there for long enough, you're going to get food poisoning, baby.
I've never had food poisoning from a filet.
Filet-o-fish is the worst thing to order on the menu for your health.
Do you know where it comes from, the filet?
Where does a fish come from?
No, it was so...
Are you asking me where a fish comes from?
All the McDonald's were franchised.
Right.
When they first opened. And in Cincinnati, which had a very strong Catholic population, on Fridays, they would eat fish, not meat. So the McDonald's in Cincinnati would lose all of its customers on a Friday.
Oh.
So the guy calls up Ray Kroc, who's the guy who bought McDonald's. Goes,
Ray Kroc, what a great name.
He's not the inventor, he's the guy who bought it off the McDonald's brothers. A world famous bastard, right?
When did Kroc croak?
Kroc croaked when he got broke. Kroc croaked broke.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. And he calls up Ray Kroc and he goes, hey, I've invented a burger.
You know, one invents a burger, but go on.
It's a brioche bun, fried fish and cheese to get the Catholics in so I don't lose my Friday sales. And Ray Kroc goes, that's a good idea, I'll drive out and taste it. So he drives out, tastes it, and he goes, whack a slice of cheese in there. And the guy goes, this is a fish burger. Fish and cheese don't go together, ever. And Ray Kroc goes, whack a slice of cheese in there. And he goes, but I whack a slice of fucking cheese in that fish, tartar sauce and brioche burger, you little shit. Or God help me, whack a slice of cheese in there.
Right.
So he does it.
He whacks it in.
Whacks it in.
Then what?
And then they have a nationwide competition to pick the best new McDonald's burger. And they had the Filet-O-Fish and a deep-fried pineapple burger.
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Bold.
And the Filet won, hands down. And that's how it joins the national menu.
First of all...
To conclude...
Yes.
A lot of people, you know, you could argue what the Catholic Church has done that's bad, you know? Like, they don't pay any tax, they love little boys...
Right.
However,
in the plus column,
gave us the fillet. Yeah, so thank you, Catholics.
You know,
if you're anti-religion and you enjoy fillet fish, you're a hypocrite.
You are. You should take a look at yourself in the mirror and wipe the food from your fat face. Right.
Here we go. They're opening the safe.
So this is the whole idea. Rickman wants to get into this safe. Oh, it's opening. All the bullion is in there, I assume.
Yep. Christmas film.
It is a Christmas film. There you go. We are stealing gold bullion in Die Hard. The villains are winning our Christmas present.
The FBI showed up.
We shut them down. We let them sweat for a while, then we give them helicopters.
Right up the ash.
Right up the ash.
Right up the ash.
I like that guy.
Right up the ash.
This is Agent Johnson. No, the other one.
See, that's another little bit of comedy gold, is that both the FBI agents are called Agent Johnson. So every time one of them picks up the phone, he goes, this is Agent Johnson. No, the other one.
Oh, okay.
It's such a little detail. Most action films don't have that subtle layer of comic nuance.
I wish to talk to the FBI.
FBI.
This is Special Agent Johnson of the FBI. The State Department has arranged for the return of your comrades. Helicopters are en route, as you requested.
I hear you. They'll be ready.
Let me figure this out. We'll hit them with the body bag.
When they touch down, we'll blow the roof. They spend a month sifting through the rubble, and by the time they figure out what went wrong...
We're going to be on a beach.
We'll be sitting on a beach.
He doesn't really do a villainous laugh in this, does he?
No, not to the very end.
Go, mwah!
No, he does when he goes, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
You got a minute? I'm here, John.
We have another heartfelt moment
here.
Listen,
man, I'm starting to get a bad feeling up here. I want you to do something for me. I want you to find my wife. Don't ask me how. By then, you'll know how. I want you to tell her something.
Great.
I want you to tell her that...
I still don't forgive her.
Tell her it took me a while to figure out what a jerk I've been.
Oh.
But,
Bruce. Roy.
That.
John.
When things started to pan out for her, I should have been more supportive, and I just should have been behind her more. Oh, shit. Tell her that she is the best thing that ever happened to a bum like me.
Aww.
Stop it,
Bruce. She's saying I love you 1,000 times.
She never heard me say I'm sorry. And I want you to tell her that, Al. I want you to tell her that,
I mean, he has to tell her a lot of shit now.
Yeah. He's like, fucking...
It's like, it's a long speech.
Do you know what, John? Let me get a pen. You know what? Exactly. If you die, I don't want to have to fucking clear up the messes of your troubled marriage. You want me to do that for you?
It's a beautiful speech.
You want me to give your wife closure? That's what you want. You want me to give your wife, who you've been married to... Let me get a pen.
Yeah.
I'll go get you a fucking pen, John.
Because he's just going to paraphrase the speech. It's a very beautiful speech. You should write it down verbatim. You should be able to deliver it to her, basically.
Imagine him having to tell her.
Can you just tell my wife? It's not just tell my wife. Yeah. If it's like 2 pages.
Imagine that. Like if he died, and it's he had like, to...
could you do me a favor and tell my wife?
Imagine if he had to find her and be like, "Hey, so I have a message from your husband. It was
he's trying to rack his brain."
Okay, he said that
you're the best.
When things were panning out for you, that he was not. No, that's not. He said it's something to do with. It was the way
he's
he said.
Bum. He's a bum.
No, yeah, he said. Like yeah, he said that. He said he's a bum.
He's a bum. He said he was a bum.
He said he was a bum. Right. He said he was a bum.
I don't know what that meant though.
The way he said it. No. He said it really poetically. He said. Right. He said he loves you and he's sorry, but he never said he loves you. He said. I got it. Stop crying. Stop crying. Let me get it out. Yeah. He says,
he's a bum.
He's a bum.
I think that's it. I think that's
heard,
the headline.
You'd heard yeah. you. He's heard you say I'm sorry, but he's no. He heard you say I love you 1,000 times. He never heard you say sorry.
Right.
And he's sorry.
Yeah.
Stop crying. Do you want to? I mean, I know you. Is it a bit soon? Do you want to go for dinner? Is this too soon? Too soon.
I think he mentioned bum.
Oh, C4 on the roof.
Great band.
C4 on the roof. It's a double cross. Classic double cross.
Oh, that's the guy.
That's the guy whose brother John McClane killed, and now he's got a gun in John McClane's mouth.
So he's going to do that villain thing where he wants to savor the revenge and then he'll end up fucking it all. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So he's, you know, his hubris will lead to his downfall. He could just kill him now, couldn't he?
Just shoot him. He's literally got a gun in his mouth.
Yeah, shoot McClane.
There's literally a gun different in
film.
His mouth.
Different film. And right then the cop has to go and tell the wife he's a bum. That would, the rest of the film is that. Yeah. See? Oh, they really missed a trick.
Now they're fighting.
See? There you go. Now it's all coming together.
Come home.
Oh no! Is that her daughter?
Yeah.
Awful.
And now that's how Hans Gruber figures out that she's the mum.
This is McClane.
Your company, it was a roof.
Look at how flamboyantly he shoots that. Look at that.
Yeah.
He does that. He fires that gun like Travolta in Saturday Night.
Dude, you don't go to the ROC for as long Saturday as he Night did Night. Without getting a bit of 70s, you know, verve.
You're so drunk right now.
No, he was at the ROC.
Yeah, but you're hammered.
I've had a few.
Do you want to... Is there any, like, internal Christmas sadness you want to talk about?
I haven't
about
really
right
eaten
now?
Anything today, so...
No, I bought you some pretzels, and I gave you a mince pie, and I bought you a Christmas present. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Okay, so McClane is punching the blondie.
Yeah.
Now so he kills two brothers McClane.
Two brothers McClane. That's what his mafia name is. You mean two brothers McClane? He's a bomb.
You see, this shot of them in a helicopter... Are they actually in a helicopter?
No, I doubt it.
Do you think so?
I think it's more likely they're in a film studio on a lot.
Those are actual helicopters, though. That's pretty awesome.
Yes, those are actual helicopters.
That's pretty stunning.
See, this is why CGI has ruined cinema. Because nowadays, that would just be CGI, wouldn't it?
Yep.
If fucking hate CGI. When has it ever made a film good, apart from like maybe Sin City?
Well, it's made films good that you don't notice it. I think CGI occurs in films on a small scale. I think that's where it should be used. Do you know what I mean?
Like what? Name one moment in
the
film.
Well, that's because I haven't noticed it. That's good CGI. It's CGI you notice is bad CGI. That's my point.
I'm just getting a bit... This is why I don't like all these Marvel films, is because you watch them and it's like, oh, I'm literally just watching a computer game.
Right. Is he just taking a bullet in the back?
Yep.
So McClane gets...
He's been shot in the back.
His feet are cut up.
Just got shot in the back. His feet are cut up, right? He's been shot in the back. He's had his nose broken, and most damning of all, he misses his wife. Now, this is a big fight scene. Here we go.
Okay.
Listen, this is... Did we miss the line where he goes, I'm going to cook you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to cook you, I'm going to fucking eat you? Did we miss that line?
I don't know.
Here we go. Here's the obligatory 80s boob shot of McClane's wife.
After all your posturing,
it's a great line.
Speeches, you're nothing but a common thief.
I'm an exceptional thief, Mrs. McClane. And since I'm moving up to kidnapping, you should be more polite.
See, why are her boobs suddenly out?
What was that?
Here we go. Here's the great line.
I didn't realise that line.
Oh, that's the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas is killing someone, cooking someone, and fucking eating someone. If you take one lesson home from this, the greatest Christmas movie of all time, it's kill, cook, eat.
Yeah. I mean, think of these boys' poor mother. I'm sure...
It's like Austin Powers. Nobody ever stops to think about the life of a henchman.
No.
But Mom, since Dad left, Steve's been like a father to me.
Yeah.
I was in junior high, dickhead. It's great, and the way that they make the FBI guys so unlikable, so that when they die, it's fine.
Yeah.
Hey Tim, I'm really glad we're doing this. I've waited many years to do this.
Yeah, me too. I'm not entirely sure if anyone's, you know, like, oh my god.
Yeah, one of the
that terrorists. Was full on.
Yeah, just fucking just shot like 5 times in the chest. I love that he doesn't care about any of the hostages.
No,
on the
no,
roof.
No, no. It's like,
where's
fuck
Holly?
That.
Where's Holly?
They took her. They took her. Where? The ball. Where is the ball?
No, he just fucking jumps off the fucking roof.
What does he say? I'm gonna bag this guy or something. I'm gonna bag this sucker.
Nail that sucker.
Nail that sucker.
This film is great!
I'll bag this little bastard.
Yep.
Now they're all the hostages are running down terrified, whilst one of the terrorists is hanging from a chain.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And now John McClane is tying a fire hose around his waist.
Why didn't... So John McClane's on the roof, this wire to blow, but why does he just go downstairs?
Because he can't, because the helicopter will shoot him.
Oh, right, so he's hiding from the helicopter.
And also, he was back at that door earlier where he had to jump down the air vent.
Right.
So if he'd have gone back...
Okay.
He's very sexy, isn't he? He's a very sexy man. Blow the roof.
Wow, look at that. Boom.
Uh-oh. They gonna need some more FBI guys.
Shit just got real.
If you were in this situation, right, let's go back to the bit where the terrorists take over the building and you're arguing with your wife in her office.
Yeah.
At what point do you think you would die?
In this film?
Hard. At what point do you think you would die hard?
At what point in the film would I die hard?
Yeah, like he goes through all of these different things here where he nearly dies. Let's say you're in the office, in the bathroom, and you hear the gunshots.
Oh, okay.
Start of the film.
Right, yeah.
At what point do you... I think you'd die right there.
Why?
The number of times I've seen you bang your head is beyond, like, bad circumstance or misfortune. You bang your head like you're a bit stupid, like you're not really aware of the roof.
Right.
All the time. I've seen you bang your head since I've known you maybe 70 times.
Yes.
On lamps, lights. You're not very aware of your spatial surroundings.
I don't think that's unfair.
It's true.
If it happened, can I answer the question?
Yeah.
Am I allowed?
Yeah.
Thank God for that. Well, what I'd do is I'd hide in the vents until it all blew over. So I wouldn't die hard. I would just hide.
Well, even though
I wouldn't be a hero.
Even though your wife's out there.
Yeah, because I mean, I could, what?
She's dead. She's a goner.
No, I'm just a realist. It might all work out. You know, let the professionals handle it.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
I hide in the vent. I go, my wife's out there, but they're going to show up. They're going to demand a ransom. Yada yada yada. Boom boom boom. Everyone gets out, you know, unharmed. But if I started to hear gunshots and people dying, then I would shimmy further down into the venting system and hide down there.
Mm.
Just stay there. I think that's a legitimate tactic. Hide in the vents.
Mm.
They're there.
In many ways, that is what you're doing in life.
Hiding in the vents.
Yeah, hiding in the vents of life.
Right.
Waiting for it to blow over.
Listen.
Hoping that your wife is okay.
Well, I'd probably shimmy, vents lead places, don't they? So what I'd do is I'd shimmy down the vent, through the bathroom, over the room where they are, and have a little peek. And go, how many? I'd count the amount of terrorists. I'd go, okay, there's 7 terrorists. They're all blonde and 1 black guy. And they all have AKs, and I have nothing, right? Do I have a gun?
No, you got nothing.
But McLean had a gun.
You're not a police officer, you're Timothy Dewberry.
Well, then again, so you're giving McLean more credit, because he's, lest we forget, he started with a gun.
He had an unfair advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at least he started with a gun.
Yeah.
Give me a gun, and it would be a slightly longer story, still culminating in my death.
Yeah. You'd die. Do you want to know what I'd do?
What?
I would immediately go to the elevators or the stairs and just walk down to the bottom of the building.
Yeah.
And leave. Go to the pub. Go to the pub. In this order, go to the pub, order a whiskey.
Yeah.
Down it. Get a beer. Ask for some peanuts. When they bring them over, actually, can I get pork scratchings? Actually, it's been a hard night. And then I'd call the police.
Right.
Calm myself first.
Okay.
Get some snacks in me.
Yeah.
So I'm being rational. You know, settle my stomach.
Yeah.
Then I'd call the fuzz.
Saves
the day. Josh saves the day.
What I would do actually is...
Survive hard.
Survive hard. What I would do is I'd shimmy along to the janitor's closet. Right?
Yeah.
And I would shimmy down. I'd get a mop.
Yeah.
I'd take the head off the mop. Then I'd get some peroxide, which is in the closet. And I'd soak it and it'll dye it blonde.
Hang on a minute. We get the catchphrase again here.
But then I'd put the blonde mop on my head. And run around and pretend to be the terrorists.
It's clever.
Yeah. You weren't really listening. Here we go.
Still the cowboy, Mr. McLean. Americans all alike. Well, this time John Wayne does not walk off into the sunset with Grace Kelly.
It's Gary Cooper, asshole.
Enough jokes.
You made a pretty good cowboy yourself, Hans.
Oh, yeah. What was it you said to me before? Yippee-ki-yay. Motherfucker.
Well, just everyone's laughing.
Because he's got the fucking gun taped to his back. Brilliant.
Happy trails, Hans.
Brilliant. I like that he blows the gun at the end like a cowboy.
Yeah, I think that was a bit much. If I'm giving
Here's
notes.
The thing, this is a callback. This is a callback. See, he's holding on to the watch that she was given in the like the third or fourth scene of the film.
It's a Rolex.
That's what that bit is. It's for exposition. It's one of the this is one of the most famous shots in, maybe not in cinema, but definitely in Die Hard. Hans Gruber falling from the building. And I believe
yeah.
They reference that shot in The Lion King when Mufasa falls, who's killed
yes,
by
they
Scar,
do.
Who is played by Alan Rickman.
Oh, excellent.
I believe. See, don't say you don't learn things when you listen to this podcast.
I love that thing that the characters do in films when someone jumps off a building, they turn away so they can't. they go, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, now he's kissing her and he's covering her in blood. It's disgusting.
Is it his blood, though?
No, it's a combination.
Ooh.
He's going to need a hepatitis shot after all this.
It is the 80s. Too much? They're going to have to get tested after that shit. All these kind of happening free love blonde European terrorists yeah, blood
covered in their blood.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Oh, that would be a horrible ending.
No,
to
yeah,
film.
Yeah.
Hey, you survived. You saved everyone's life, but you do have many, many blood diseases.
I love
right
it.
Now.
Just the last scene of the film is just they leap forward 1 year to a diagnosis scene. Slightly different ending to the film. Right, so it's
apparently
all...
the next diet. See, this is why this attention to detail in this film is all the papers of the office.
It's turned
falling.
Into like a ticker tape.
Yeah, but it's meant to be snow, isn't it?
Oh, I see.
It's symbolic of snow. All the paper falling.
Oh, you've really
down.
Thought this through. And now,
oh, here we go. Here's the beautiful moment.
Well, he gets to meet the black.
See, it's not just a romance cop. Between.
What's his name again? This
Al Powell.
Al Powell.
It's not just a romance between John and his wife. It's also a romance between
two men.
Two men.
You've never seen each other.
Yeah. In many ways, this is the predecessor of You've Got Mail.
Yes, I can see no similarities, but yes. Oh, it's a good end. It's a good film, isn't it?
It's a great film.
So just two men. This is the birth of the bromance you're seeing right here. He's so good, Bruce Willis, in this, isn't he?
Oh, now she takes his surname. Is that what it takes? Save your wife's life.
Well, to be honest, like, if she doesn't take his name after all that, what kind of fucked up world are we living in? Because I understand it, but I mean, you could just.
Oh, it's not over.
Oh, it's not over.
A terrorist.
I thought he was dead.
No, he's still alive.
Oh, this is where he redeems himself.
Yeah, Al Powell shoots him. Look at this shot. Look at this shot of the gun to Powell's face. This is a beautiful shot. Oh. That's a great shot.
It's a focus pull.
Yeah.
From the gun... Looking down the barrel of the gun to the face, right, appearing over it. It's great. And now it's fine that he shot the kid, right? Isn't that what that bit was about? He's kind of made amends in some weird way, but he hasn't, because the kid is still dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make up. Now he's just shot two people.
Yeah, he just shot two people.
Now he's murdered two people.
One had it coming.
Also,
the other
this
didn't.
Wouldn't happen when he busts the limo out of the building. And goes to pick up John and Holly, like he would have been immediately shot.
Yeah.
Mr. McClane, now that it's all over after this incredible ordeal, what are your feelings?
Oh, God, that was great. That was John's wife hearing him.
What I like about these films, these older films, is they always pull to a wide at the end.
Yeah.
And just, as they disappear.
This is their idea of Christmas. I gotta be here for New Year's.
Hey.
And they pull away in a stretch limo into the distance.
And Christmas is here again. And you're older and you're gonna die a bit sooner. And you hate yourself a bit more than last year. And you've put on some weight, but that's normal. Your metabolism's slowing down. Cause you're old.
And thanks for joining us for this one-off commentary. I'm drunk, and Josh isn't. So thank you for listening.
It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon for anyone who's,
yeah,
who's
yeah,
listening
yeah,
to this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We started at midday.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to go home and sleep.
There you go. Don't join us next week for more nothing, because this is a fucking one-off.
A one-off, but Merry Christmas,
everybody. You know
everybody.
What? We don't do this podcast anymore because you guys killed it. That's why.
Yes.
You killed it. And we want you to live with that guilt forever.
And remember...
It's your fault.
Don't trust people with long blonde hair.
Or bums.
Yeah. Hot polish can be a torture implement. And something else.
Thank you very much for joining us, guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Goodbye.
By the way, just in case anyone wants to come see... you know I play in a band. Do you know that?
I do.
I play in a band called the Kenneths.
Yeah.
We're going on tour in January with... January through to March with Dead.
Dead.
And if you wanted to come to any of the shows... What's that? You really want to come see us play? Oh. But you don't want to pay more than a tenner? Not to worry. All the tickets are £8. So if you're in any of these places, come see the Kenneths January through to the end of February, early March, I think. Leeds, Manchester, Glasgow, Birmingham, London, Guildford, Bedford, Cambridge, Brighton, Nottingham, Sheffield, Hull, Newcastle, Edinburgh, Stoke-on-Trent, Southampton, Oxford, Cardiff, Bristol, and Plymouth.
Good.
That's a proper tour.
Yes, it is.
Tickets are on sale at thekenneths.com. Hey, guys. I hope you all die hard this Christmas.
Take care, everybody. Have a good Christmas and enjoy it.
It might be your last.
Exactly.
You might die.
You might.
And Santa's not real.
Goodbye.
Neither is Jesus. Bye.
Love you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.